السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخنا، أحسن الله
صباح
إليك.
الخير، أمين
الحمد
وإياك.
لله.
Can we go to the class this morning?
نعم شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In our last class yesterday, we were talking about the virtue of an individual who loves a person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this love he has for the people for the sake of Allah, he wouldn't be able to reach them in terms of good deeds. But he likes the good deeds. He likes their salah. He likes their zakah. He likes their giving out in sadaqah. He likes their humility. He likes their sticking to the sunnah. He likes their boldness in front of the truth. He likes their steadfastness upon goodness and all of these. But he is relatively weaker. He is unable to walk. He is unable to perform good deeds like these people. What will he benefit from this, loving them? And we got aware that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. The individual will be with the people that he loves. So if you love the people of righteousness and piety, if you love those who regularly repent and make tawbah, if you love the people who sincerely learn the religion and teach it, if you love the people who are regular with the adhkar, if you love the people who struggle to be of good manners and attitude, bismillah, you shall be with them in the extent of your loving goodness and loving the people of goodness. So this is one of the rewards for loving for the sake of Allah. From the rewards of loving for the sake of Allah, also is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. If you love for the sake of Allah, Allah will love you. If you love goodness for the sake of Allah, Allah will connect you with them on the day of Qiyamah. In a hadith, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أين المتحابون بجلالي؟ أين المتحابون؟ Where are those who mutually love themselves for my mighty sake? اليوم أظلهم في ظلي. Today I shall place them under my shade, the shade that Allah will provide on the day of Qiyamah. So one of the gains of loving for the sake of Allah is that Allah will love you. Another gain, another profit is that Allah will connect you to those you love on the day of Qiyamah. Another benefit is that Allah will bring you under His shade on a day when there shall be no shade except the shade that Allah shall provide. So you can see there are tremendous benefits in loving a person for the sake of Allah. And we had repeatedly explained that loving for the sake of Allah has to do with the fact that the index of love is obedience to Allah. The index of love, what controls the love, is obedience to Allah. The man is obedient to Allah and you love him because of that. So you love the goodness that he is upon, and you love him for being upon goodness. And that's the more reason why we should avoid the people of evil. You can't love the people of evil without loving evil. You can't love the people of evil without loving evil. So don't invest your love in a footballer. Don't invest your love in a musician. Don't invest your love in a comedian, because you become a fan of all of those things they are doing. We should reorganize and redirect our love. If you love someone for the sake of Allah, Allah will love you. Is this not enough a virtue? If you, for the sake of Allah, love someone, Allah will put you with him in terms of goodness in Al-Jannah on the day of Qiyamah. If you love someone for the sake of Allah, Allah will bring you under his shade on the day of Qiyamah, when everybody shall need shade. So are these not real values for love? So for the sake of Allah, let us redirect our love. This matter really affects a lot of us. We love things and we love people that are not connected to Allah at all. And we spend our energy, we spend our time to sustain the love of those people. It is a dangerous thing for us, because what those people are upon soon creeps into our hearts. If the person is upon zina, you also find it easy. If the person is upon kufr, many of the Muslims invest their love in kufar, non-Muslims. And by the time you know it, they start to behave and think like them. For the sake of Allah, redirect your love, redirect your affection. Define the index of your love. And when you define the index of what you love, what you have affection for, define what you are fond of, what excites you about the person. Redefine it. Let it be obedience to Allah. Let it be obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you love for the sake of Allah, Allah will love you. If you love for the sake of Allah, Allah on the day of Qiyamah, he will place you under his shade. يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. Allah will say on the day of Qiyamah, أَيْنَ الْمُتَحَابُونَ بِجَلَالِي الْيَوْمَ أُظِلُّهُمْ تَحْتَ ظِلِّي أُظِلُّهُمْ فِي ظِلِّي. Today, I shall place them under my shade. So for the sake of Allah, let us love for this sake. The next chapter we'll be discussing in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, has to do with Al-Kabir, those who are elderly, those who are our seniors. We are 5 years old, he is 6 years old. You are 12 years old, he is 13 years old. Or you are 5 years old, he is 5 years and 6 months old. The one who is 5 years and 6 months is older than the one who is 5 years old. The one who is 12 years old is older than the one who is 11 years old. And the one who is 12 years and 5 months old, 12 years and 3 months old, is older than the one who is just 12 years old. In fact, the one who is 12 years and a day old is older than the one who is 12 years old. The one who is old is 12 years and 1 day. The other one is 12 years. The one who is 12 years and a day is older than the one who is just 12 years old. The one who is 16 years old is older than the one who is 15. If the one who is 15 and a day old is older than the one who is just turning 15 today. Once the individual is older than you, the least of what I have seen amongst the early Muslims is 1 day. The least of what I have seen is 1 day. They used to respect and give respect to an elderly, even when he was 1 day old. And they would emphasize that even if it is by a single day you are older than I am, I will respect you for that single day. So elderliness itself has a virtue. Having age itself has virtue. But the one who is 45 years old, they, for being older than the one who is 30, he has rights in Islam. Just like our parents, for being our parents, for giving mother or by the same father, we have rights. Our neighbors, because they live by us, just near us, they have rights. Our friends, just because we have chosen them as friends, they have rights. Our wives, just because we have married them, they have rights. Similarly, the one who is older than us, just because he is older than you, he has rights. He has rights to cook. He also has special virtue for being older. Every person who is older than the next person has a virtue. He has a virtue for being older than the next person. So elderliness itself is a virtue in Islam. Elderliness, one person being older than the next person, that being older itself, the elderliness itself, it has a virtue. The seniority itself, it has a virtue. And we understand that the seniority can be in terms of the age. It can be in terms of virtue. Maybe the one who is higher ranking is more knowledgeable. So these are the two indices they consider when they talk about Al-Kabir. So you can have Al-Kabir is older in terms of the age. You can also have Al-Kabir is older in terms of Ash-Sha'n wal-Maqam. He has a bigger rank. So one, a person will be senior to you because he's older than you. So he is Al-Kabir. The person will be senior to you because he has a higher rank. So in Islam, these people are also referred to as Al-Kabir. The one who has a higher rank than you is also older than you, both linguistically and in the Sharia. Because linguistically, if you say Kabir, you can be talking about a person who is what? Rafi'u Sha'ani wal Maqam. If you say huwa Kabir, he is Kabir, he is old, or he is big, or he is senior. He can be senior in terms of his Sha'an, his rank, his status, wal Maqam, and the rank that he occupies, the status in his community. These are elderly people too. They are considered seniors too in the society of Muslims. Likewise, the seniority could be in terms of the age. And as for the age, the least of what I have seen amongst the early Muslims is considering the one who is just even one day older than you, they respect that seniority. And we shall come back to that. One day, Abdullah ibn Busrin, radiallahu anhu, he reported that Anna Arabiyan Qal, a man amongst the Bedouins, approached the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and said, Ya Rasulallah, Messenger of Allah, man khayrun nas, who are the best of the people? And the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, man qala umruhu wa hasuna amaluhu, the one whose ages are huge, the one with big age, these are from the best of people, wa hasuna amaluhu, and his deeds are very good over the years. Hasuna amaluhu, he has age, he has good deeds. So you have a man from age 5, he started to observe some salawat. Let's take this illustration. A man from age 5, if we pay good attention, from age 2, our children should be able to observe Salah with us correctly. Or from age 3, at least, your child should be able to stay with you to observe Salah from age 3. So this man begins to observe Salah at age 3, so that you can teach them properly. So from age 3, they go to the masjid with you, they come back from the masjid with you, they sit down with you, they observe the salah with you from age 3, for example. So it goes on like that, age 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 15, 20, he's on Khamsi Salawat. Age 35, 45, he's on Khamsi Salawat. Up to age 60, up to age 75, he observes the salah every day. He does not miss salawat. He observes nawafil. Now let us look at it. Regarding rak'at al-fajr, I always bring this hadith. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam that rakat al fajr khairun min al dunya wa ma fiha. The two units we observe before the fajr emerges, khairun min al dunya. These two units of prayer is better than the entirety of this dunya, wa ma fiha, and everything that the dunya contains. Two units is more virtuous than the entirety of this dunya and what it contains. Now, a man observes rakat al-fajri from age 3 or age 4. He observes rakat al-fajri for 60 years, for 70 years, for 80 years, for 90 years. So you can see a lot of virtue. A lot of rewards would have accrued for him. Now, compare the rewards that will accrue for a person who spends 90 years observing rakat al-fajr and the one who spends 30 years observing rakat al-fajr. You see that the gap, the age gap itself has pushed forward this elderly person. That age gap has pushed him forward. So that age gap itself is a virtue. So that's why the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, khayrukum aw khayrun nas, the best of the people, because they gather good deeds. They gather good deeds. We spoke about Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna, one of the teachers of Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, I always give this example, he spent 81 years or thereabouts, and he made 70 hajj. 70, he made hajj 70 times in 81 years of existence. So you can imagine how much reward he would have acquired. Now, get a boy who started making hajj at age 18, for example. We are just giving us illustrations to understand that age barrier brings a lot of goodness. Age barrier brings, it comes along with a lot of goodness. It comes along with a lot of righteousness. It comes along with a lot of knowledge. It comes along with a lot of experience of life. It comes along with a lot of things, age. And that's why the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the best of you are those who live long, and then their goods are very nice. They have good deeds. They were making sadaqah. They were fasting. About two Ramadans ago, I met two old women. These two completed Ramadan and they were jubilating. Each of them is over 95 years old. And they are happy that they are able to fast in the month of Ramadan and complete Ramadan. So this is what virtue, the virtue of old age brings. So Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, here he says, Fadlul Kabir. So the elderly person has a virtue for elderliness itself. So likewise, even if the elderliness is just by one day, the Sharia counts him to be favored by Allah, to be older than the other person by what? By one day. So there is virtue in elderliness, in the fact that a person is old, there is virtue in it. He has a lot of worship, he has a lot of experience, he has a lot of, and so on and so forth. And in the same, by the same flip, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, فَأَيُّ النَّاسِ شَرٌ أَيُّ النَّاسِ شَرٌ, who amongst the people is worse? The Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, مَنْ طَالَ عُمُرُهُ وَسَاءَ عَمَلُهُ, طَالَ عُمُرُهُ وَسَاءَ عَمَلُهُ. His life was long, but his deeds were bad. May Allah protect him. He had a long life. But in all of that, he was busy with alcohol, he was busy with birthday ceremonies, he was busy with eating and consuming riba, he was busy with dinner, he was busy with organizing parties and bringing in decency. This was what he spent 70 years for. The Prophet counts them, alayhi salatu wasalam, from the unfortunate ones. Yes, they had long life, they had the opportunity for goodness, they were favored by Allah with age, but they wasted it all. So age itself is a virtue. Age itself is a virtue. Being elderly itself It's a virtue. And Islam recognizes that virtue. Just like having birth to a baby is a virtue for the parents. Just like having a brother is a virtue for you. Just like having a neighbor is a virtue. It's a favor of Allah. This is what we are considering. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah says, Fadli Sabil, the virtue of being elderly itself, the virtue of being a senior, the virtue of seniority. And we had mentioned that seniority could be in terms of age, it could also be in terms of what rank and status. So it's a virtue that Allah makes you the head teacher of the school. It's a virtue. It's a virtue that Allah makes you mu'allim al-fiqh. You are teaching people Quran. You are teaching them the sunnah. It's a virtue. Your being in that place is a virtue. It's a virtue that Allah makes you a husband. There are many of the people looking for a wife to marry, they can't find. So when Allah makes you marry, you are the head of the home. So that status, that rank itself is a virtue with you that Allah has provided you. I hope that this is clear in terms of explaining this title heading. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Fadlul Kabir, the virtue of being, the virtue of seniority, the virtue, the favor that comes along with seniority. Seniority itself is a favor. Seniority in terms of age and seniority in terms of rank and in terms of status. It can be seniority in terms of age, and the age, there is no barrier to it. The compendium about being students of knowledge and how to be scholars upon knowledge, the conduct of the scholars and the conduct of the students. It's a compendium about how should scholars conduct themselves and how should students conduct themselves and how both scholars and students should conduct themselves in the gatherings of learning. It occurs in two big volumes that is called Al-Jami'u li-Akhlaq al-Rawi wa Adab al-Sam'i. It's a compendium about how does the scholar conduct himself, how does the student conduct himself, how do both the scholar and the student conduct themselves in the gathering of knowledge. This is all what this Al-Jami', this compendium is about. It has a chapter heading about adabu dukhuli ala al-muhaddithi, the manner. How do you conduct yourself when you come into the house of the scholar? How do you handle that? And one of the points he noted, he said, wa idha hadara jama'atun min al-talaba bab al-muhaddith, idha hadara jama'atun min al-talaba bab al-muhaddith, when a number, a group of the students approach the doorstep of their teacher, وَأَذِنَ لَهُمْ فِي الدُّخُولِ, and he permits them to come inside. فَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُقَدِّمُوا أَسَنَّهُمْ, it is necessary for them to push forward those who are older. Students gather on the doorstep of their teacher to learn. They want to come in. إِذَا أَذِنَ لَهُمْ, when he now permits them, فِي الدُّخُولِ, to come into the house, it is necessary for them to make those who are older, the elderly ones, to come to him first in the house. Let the elder ones enter first. وَيَدْخُلُوهُ أَمَامَهُمْ, يَعْنِ يَدْخُلُوا أَلْبَابِ أَمَامَهُمْ, the elderly ones will come in front of the rest of the people. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ هُوَ السُنَّةِ, because that is the sunnah. Under this matter, he brought some athar. And one of the athar that he mentioned, one of the narrations from the early Muslims were from the Tabi'un. It had to do with Malik ibn Mirwal عن طلحة ابن مصرف، مالك ابن مغول was the huge scholar of hadith رحمه الله. He was an imam. He رحمه الله said كنت أمشي مع طلحة ابن مصرف. كنت أمشي مع طلحة ابن مصرف. I was walking with طلحة ابن مصرف. طلحة ابن مصرف was a scholar of hadith and Quran. He was more popularly known with teaching the people Quran. So one day, Malik ibn Mirwal and Talha ibn Musarrif were moving. He said, "Fasirna." So we moved and continued moving. Ila hatta intahayna ila bukakin bayitin. Hatta intahayna ila bukakin bayit. So we're moving until we got to a place where the roads become or became constricted. It happens. You'll be traveling or you'll be walking and then the road becomes constricted. One person has to wait for the next person to move. He said, Rahimahullah, فَتَخَلَّفْتُ وَتَقَدَّمَ طَلْحَةُ تَخَلَّفْتُ وَتَقَدَّمَ طَلْحَةُ تخلفت وتقدم طلحة occurs in مكارم الأخلاق by الإمام القرائطي because the author also occurs there. But in الجامع الأخلاق الراوي مالك بن مغول said فتقدمني مالك بن مغول said تقدمني ثم قال he went in front of me and said لو كنت أعلم أنك أكبر مني بيوم ما تقدمتك لو كنت أعلم أنك أكبر مني بيوم ما تقدمتك if I knew that you were older than me just by a single day ما تقدمتك I wouldn't come in front of you. This is from the aspect of recognizing the rights of the Kabir. The right of the Kabir is that he is made to come forward. He puts his hand in the food pot. If you have a choice, to make the choice first. If you have a place to come into, he comes in first before the younger one. Why? Because of the favor of being elderly, even if it is by a single day. So you can see, all Ibn Mustafarif was telling Malik ibn Mughwal, these are from the students of the Tabi'un. All Ibn Musarrif was even a tabi. You are learning people who taught the people the deen. They still held elderliness, even if it be by a single day. He said, Rahimahullah, لو كنت أعلم أنك أكبر مني اليوم. If I knew that you are even older than me by a single day, just by a single day, ما تقدمتك, I wouldn't come in front of you. So some of us, a brother is older than the other brother by 10 days. A brother is older than the other brother by 40 days. And then you still see some people, they're just 40 days. Even if it be by a single day, we have the same report regarding Al-Fadl ibn Musa and Al-Imam Abdullah ibn Mubarak. The same thing, they wanted to go on a bridge and only a single person could go on that wood bridge. So the other would say, no, go before me because you are older than me. You are older than I am. So it was very common. If you go come to Al-Jami Al-Akhlaq Rawi, you see them respecting themselves because, no, you go in front of me. Why? You are older than I am. How about the one who is older by 6 months? How about the one who is older by a year? How about the one who is older by 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years? How about the one who is older by 10 years, 15 years, 20, 50 years is older than you? And then you have a choice to pick something you want to pick before him. You have an opportunity to get into a place you want to get into the place before him. You have an opportunity to walk on the street you want to walk in front of him. The early Muslims did not teach to do that. And they recognized that right for a person who was just even by a single day older than themselves. So recognizing the favor of the elderly comes, even if it be by a single day, two persons want to pick a kettle for wudu. If you know that he's older than you, allow him to pick the kettle first. Two persons want to eat the food. If he's older than you, allow him to bring his hand in the food pot. Two persons are walking. You meet yourselves. We are coming back to all of these. These are manners with the elderly. Two persons are walking in opposite direction. The other one is one day younger than the other. Who starts with a flame? The one who is younger starts with a flame. The one who is younger starts with a flame. The one who is younger walks at the back. The one who is younger is the last to put the hand in the knee. The one who is younger expresses, uses a better language, the language of respect and honor and esteem. All of these that we shall be talking about is because the age varies and the list of what is considered as elderliness for which respect must be shown is worth one single day. There are a lot of narrations that even by a single day, if the early Muslims recognized that you are older than them, they showed you the respect for the favor of coming to this dunya earlier than them by a single day. Earlier than them by what? By just a single day. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, mentions what will be the virtue of elderliness, the virtue of seniority. And then he says, rahimahullah, حدثنا أحمد بن عيسى قال حدثنا عبد الله بن وهب عن أبي صخر عن ابن قسي عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال من لم يرحم صغيرنا من لم يرحم صغيرنا ويعرف حق كبيرنا فليس منا. من لم يرحم صغيرنا ويعرف حق كبيرنا فليس منا. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله in hadith number 363 quotes it from the Shaykh Ahmad ibn Isa رحمه الله. Ahmad ibn Isa, he is Abu Abdullah al-Misri. Ahmad ibn Isa, he is Abu Abdullah al-Misri. From amongst the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he was also from amongst the teachers of Al-Imam al-Muslim and also from the teachers of Al-Imam al-Nasa'i and also from amongst the teachers of Al-Imam ibn Majah. So Ahmad ibn Isa had a lot of brilliant people who became noble, well-known scholars in the history of Islam. So Ahmad ibn Isa is the Sheikh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith. And he is reporting from Abdullah ibn Wahab. Abdullah ibn Wahab is also al-Misri, from amongst the scholars of Misri. He was well known for the sciences of the Quran and for the sciences of Hadith. He was from amongst those who reported Al-Muwaffa from Al-Imam Malik. He was from the students of Al-Imam Malik, but he came all the way from this into Medina to stay for some years with Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah. He was also known for a lot of worship and abstinence from time and life with ventures. That was Abdullah ibn Wahab. So Ahmad ibn Isa reported from Abdullah ibn Wahab. They are both from the scholars of Misr. And now we can understand the connection between the scholars of Misr and the scholars of Medina in this hadith. Because the next reporter from whom Abdullah ibn Wahab got that hadith, Abu Sakhrin, was al-Madani. Abu Sakhrin is Umayd ibn Ziyad al-Madani. Umayd ibn Ziyad al-Madani. We know that Abdullah ibn Wahab spent a number of years learning in Medina from the scholars of Medina. So from those he learned from in Medina was Umayd ibn Ziyad al-Madani, Abu Sakhr. And Abu Sakhr reports this hadith from Ibn Qusayt. Ibn Qusayt is an ascription to his grandfather. Otherwise, his name name is Yazid ibn Abdullah. So he is Yazid ibn Abdullah ibn Khufay, Abu Abdullah al-Madawi. There's a virtue here in this isnad. The isnad started from being Misriya, or from being Misri. The isnad started from being Misri. Why? Ahmad ibn Isa is Misri, Abdullah ibn Wahab is Misri. And it returned to becoming an isnad from Medina, because Abu Sakhrin and Ibn Qutayt were from the scholars of Medina. Likewise, who? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So the isnad started from this and ended in Medina. From those who received it in Misra, from Ahmad ibn Isa, he received it from his sheikh in Misra, Abdullah ibn Wahab al-Mukri. And then he recorded it from his own teachers when he went to study in Medina, from Abu Sakhrin. And Abu Sakhrin was from the scholars of Medina. He also received from Ibn Qusayt. This is another evidence that the individual can ascribe himself to his grandfather. A man can be Abdullah, the son of Abdurrahman, the son of Abdurrahim. They could refer to him as Ibn Abdurrahim. A man may be ascribed to his grandfather or great-grandfather, and so on. This hadith comes from the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أنه قال من لم يرحم صغيرنا ويعرف حق كبيرنا فليس منا من لم يرحم صغيرنا. The one who is not shown mercy to our younger ones, it means the younger ones to have rights. The younger ones to have a right. Younger ones have a right that they are shown mercy. Younger ones have a right that they are shown mercy. One of the scholars say the reason why we have to show the younger people mercy is because they have little knowledge, they have little experience, they are fragile, they have not seen life, and they have not learned much, so they are prone to errors, they are prone to mistakes. So the one who is prone to mistake should be shown the error, because the reason why he will make that mistake is because of what? Little age. So little age itself attracts compassion. Little age itself attracts compassion. So the one who is 50 years old should be compassionate with the 13-year-old teenager. The one who is 35 years old should show compassion, to show empathy, should be sorry for the one who is 17 years old. Because it is likely that you find someone who is 17 years old raising his shoulders towards the one who is 35 years old. The one who is 35 years old should handle the 17-year-old boy with what? With compassion, with a sense of compassion. Why? The man has only little age and little experience. If he has good age, good knowledge, good experience, he will not raise his shoulder to the one who is elderly. So the elderly should show compassion to the one who is young. Why? He is young, he has only little knowledge and the experience of life. He knows only a little. He knows only a little, even though from the little knowledge is that the teenager thinks that he knows much more than his father, especially in this day of social media. The teenager thinks that he's more intelligent than his father. The teenager thinks that he's more intelligent than his teacher in class. The teacher, this is who they don't know something. He's the one who knows. She's the one who knows. So the teenager wants to correct you all the time, even though that's from very little knowledge, even though that is from very little experience of life, even though that is from very little the thinking, the depth of the thinking is shallow. The depth of the thinking of the young person is basically shallow. But unfortunately, he thinks that it is so deep. So when they say they want something, they say, yes, I want this. The elderly quickly recognizes that that is not the thing to want. But the young person thinks that, oh, daddy doesn't understand. to show compassion to him, the elderly one who is 18 years old, to show compassion to the one who is just 11 years old, who is just getting to become 10 years old. Why? Because that 10 years old does not understand much. He has little knowledge, little experience. And that's why you can see some boys, they can go on the handrail and fly down. They can't think that if they fly down, they can break their arm. So when he flies down, breaks his arm, he becomes more intelligent, more sensitive. By the time he's 18, he's not likely to do that. Because when he did that at age 8, he broke his arm. He carried a bandage on his hand for some 2-3 months. And he was regular in the hospital. And the nurse at the hospital was injecting him. So the point here is that the young ones also deserve to be shown compassion. The point here is that young ones deserve to be shown what? Compassion. Why? They have little knowledge. They have little experience of life. So at age 18, he's also thinking that he knows, and his father at 50, 51 doesn't know. Oh, daddy, you don't understand. If you understand, you will not think that, you will not take that kind of a position. He wants to, at age 18, teach his father life experience at age 50. So the father should be compassionate with him, because his decisions were based on shallow thinking. His decisions were largely based on thinking that was shallow. It was not deep, and with little life experience, and perhaps with little knowledge. So you should show him compassion. The one who is going to become 10 should show compassion to the one who is going to become 7 or 8. Why? He is behaving like that to you because of little knowledge. He is not knowledgeable and self-conscious like you. So the point here is that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, man lam yarham sagirana, the one who will not show mercy, the one who will not show compassion for our young ones, wa yarif haqqa kabirina, and then recognize the rights, the favors of those that are elderly. Because every person who is younger, if you have someone younger than you, you definitely have someone older than you. Every person is at the middle. As you have children, as you have younger ones, you are older than them. Similarly, you have elders who are older than you. So it's a two-way thing. The elderly one should show compassion to the younger one. And this elderly one should also show respect and esteem for those who are older than him. It's a very bad thing for an individual not to show respect and compassion for those that he is older than them. And then he's also haughty towards those who are older than him. This is bad. So what you do is a two-way traffic. The young man, you are older than him. Show him compassion when he becomes rude to you. Call him, oh young man, it is not appropriate to behave like this, like this, like this, like this, like this. Talk to him well, because that action of his came from little knowledge, from shallow thinking, and from little experience. So be merciful to him. Tell him, no, don't behave like that. But as for those who are older than you, you must show them respect. Why? Elderliness, that is a favor from Allah to them. You must, in recognition of that favor of Allah upon them, you must show them esteem and respect. Like we had given in the illustration, a man was upon Islam. He was nurtured upon Islam. And he became from among those who are favored with salah, with zakat, with siyam, with hajj, with umrah, with knowledge, with teaching knowledge for 60 years before you were born. For 60. So by the time he became 80, you were just 20 years old. Should you not respect those long years of salah? of zakah, of siyam, of hajj, of umrah, of knowledge, of looking into books and studying and teaching knowledge and spreading knowledge. Should you not respect those long age? Should you not? You should. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who will not now recognize this favor that by which Allah has favored that elderly person, falaysa minna, falaysa minna, he's not of us, he's not one of us, he's not upon our lines of conduct, he is not upon our path in this, he's just on his own. So we must show compassion and mercy to those who are younger. The younger ones now need a lot of mercy. Because now, unfortunately, because of the widespread of information, young people easily think now that they have known it all when they are yet to know anything. Young people now think that they have known it all when they have hardly seen it all. I have an experience. I read someone on the Twitter. He was telling some of the young people to keep quiet. He said he has 20 years understanding the Nigerian politics. So I smiled, because 20 years from now is just young. It means that the man didn't know what was happening in the days of NPN and UPN. He didn't know what was happening when the likes of Agunwa and Akwe had the rulership of the Senate. He wouldn't know a man like Anekwe. He wouldn't know Anekwe. And this was a man who ruled, I think, the House of Representatives at that time. In the days of the NRC and the SDP, he wouldn't know what happened in Jos. He wouldn't know. He would just read it in history. Unfortunately, history has been canceled. He wouldn't know what happened in 1993. He might not know the man called Alfon Garibe. He just died recently. He wouldn't know. He wouldn't know. And he is harassing other younger ones to keep quiet because he has 20 years of experience in Nigerian politics. So you can see that the younger ones today think that they know far, far much more than those who are older than them. Not to say those who are their mates. Is a problem in our own times, mutual contest for intellectual superiority. Where in the times of mutual contest for intellectual superiority, every person thinks that he's more sensible and intelligent than the next person. It's a ruse, it's a nullity. So young ones, know yourself as a young one. When you find your elders, maintain good respect and esteem. Show them good respect. Show them esteem. Don't be vulgar in your expressions. Inshallah, in the next class, we shall mention those rights, particularly that Islam wants us to show when we meet with those who are elderly, when we relate with those who are elderly. But the point here today is that the reason why the elderly person must be shown respect and esteem is because Allah has favored him with what? With elderliness. Allah has favored him with what? Elderliness. And like we started with, elderliness can be in terms of status, it can be in terms of rank, and it can be in terms of age. Elderliness can be in terms of status and rank, and it can be in terms of what? Age. So you can have a person who is 35 years, but he occupies the position of authority. He should be respected and shown esteem because of the seniority in rank that Allah has placed him. That favor that Allah has given to him because of his rank is a seniority, and that favor should be respected. So it means that man lam yarham saghirana, if we want to interpret it using seniority of rank and status. Man lam yarham saghirana, the one who is superior in his status, if he would not show compassion to a junior person, wala ya'rif liqabilina haqqahu, and he will not in turn show esteem and respect For those who are older than him in status and rank, he's not of us. I hope that this other interpretation is understood. There are two ways to understand this hadith. The first one is in terms of age. The second one is in terms of what status and rank. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, man lam yarham sagirana. If we interpret it in terms of age, we will say an older person who will not show mercy and compassion for our younger ones. Wala yarif haqqa kabirina falaysa minna. Wala yarif haqqa kabirina. Man lam yarham sagirana wa yarif haqqa kabirina falaysa minna. And he will not show respect and esteem for those who are older than him. You are older than those ones. If you are older than them, show them mercy. Show them compassion. Then those who are older than you, show them esteem. Show them respect. If you don't do this, you are not of us. This is interpreting this hadith in terms of the seniority of age. We can also understand and interpret this hadith in terms of the seniority in what? In rank and status. So we say, man lam yarham sagirana wa yarif haqqa kabirina falaysa minna. Lam yarham sagirana. He will not show mercy. He will not show pity. He will not be empathetic. He will not show compassion for those who are younger than you in terms of your status and rank. They occupy a lower rank. Show them mercy. If, for example, we say rank, so let us use the military. If you are a major general, show mercy and compassion with those who are just staff sergeants. If you are the director general of the state security, show mercy to those that Allah has placed under you. Show them mercy. And then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa yarif haqqa kabirina. Then you must show esteem and respect for your superiors. So if you are a brigadier general, for example, you must show respect for the one who is what? A major general. I hope that it is clear. If you are a director, you must show the one, you are a state director of state security, you must show respect and esteem for those who are regional, perhaps regional directors and so on. If you are a class monitor, you must show respect to your senior prefect. If you are a senior prefect, you must show respect and esteem to who? To the teachers. If you're a teacher, you must show respect and esteem to your departmental head. If you are a departmental head, you must show respect and esteem for your head teacher. And at the same time, the head teacher must show respect and esteem for the departmental heads and the subject teachers and the students. And of course, the one who is the school head must show respect for the one who has employed him and gave him a job to head the school. So it must go back and forth like that. The older ones should show respect for those who are older than them. And the same people must show compassion for those who are below them. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man lam yarham sagirana وَيَعْرِفْ حَقَّ كَبِيرِنَا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. Now the point is, why is it that we want to show respect and esteem for those who are older? We want to show respect and esteem for those who are older because they have what? Fadl of Al-Kabir. Because they have the virtue of elderliness. And like we said, the least of what the early Muslims used to consider as from elderliness is what? One single day. If you are just older than him, by one single day, show him mercy, show him compassion. And if he is older than you, by one single day, show him respect, show him esteem. When you speak to him, be respectful. Why? Allah has given him that favor to be older than you. It is this favor to be older than you that we are talking about. That a man is older than you is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a man is older than you is a favor from Allah. And so he must respect it. Now hold it. He's older than you. is also related to you by blood. Perhaps it's your uncle or it's your aunt, she's your aunt or she's your whatever. So you see, the respect will be more. The respect of age, the respect of rank, then the respect of the ties of kingship. The same thing if you are now dealing with a younger person, maybe your younger brother, you must show him mercy, you must show him compassion. No evil should touch him from you if he is younger than you. Because if you don't do that, you are not following the lines of conduct of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wa sallam, من لم يرحم صغيرنا ويعرف حق كبيرنا فليس منا. The one who will not show compassion and mercy to those who are younger amongst us, we Muslims, who will not show mercy and compassion to younger ones in Islam. He is a Baba Dini and he wants to oppress everybody. This is not our prophet. وَيَعْرِفْ حَقَّ كَبِيرِنَا. Likewise, he is a Baba Dini, but he does not want to respect the Imam of the Masjid. Who is older in terms of rank? Who is older in terms of status as far as the Masjid is concerned? So he will oppress the younger ones, younger in their rank. But he does not want to show respect to those who are above him. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, falaysa minna. Such a person is not upon our sunnah, is not upon our lines of conduct. What he is doing is strange to our religion. It is strange to the sunnah. Some of the young people who are upon the sunnah now think that disrespect itself is salafiyah. No, show respect. That even amongst the early Muslims, the likes of Omar radiallahu anhu will show respect to the likes of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Omar will show respect to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Omar and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, as soon as their ages were, they still paid attention to who was older. So they should respect. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, we did not used to look at the Prophet in his face because we were younger. Anas was just about 17, 18 years old when the Prophet passed away. He met the Prophet when he was about 10 years old. He said, we did not used to look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So sometimes I may not be able to describe his face fully. So ask Abu Bakr, ask Umar. They were those who were closer because their age were nearer. They used to see them. And you find Anas saying again that the elders amongst the companions used to tell us to do this. So even amongst the companions, they recognize their elders because of the right of elderliness. Every person knew his place. Why? Because of the virtue of elderliness. Because of the virtue of elderliness, Ibn Abbas was a young companion, radiallahu anhu. He was just about 9 to 12 years old, between 9 and 12, when the Prophet passed away. And his father, Abbas, radiallahu anhu, had accepted Islam far earlier. So you can see the gap. How will Ibn Abbas behave before Abu Bakr al-Siddiq? How? How do you think Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu will behave in front of Omar? But at the same time, they recognize the virtue, the rank of Ibn Abbas in terms of his knowledge. Abdurrahman ibn Auf was one of the students of Ibn Abbas. Abdurrahman ibn Auf was one of the students of Ibn Abbas. He used to learn Quran from Ibn Abbas. And he would show him in terms of that. He would show him the respect of seniority in terms of the rank and status. Why? Ibn Abbas was far more knowledgeable. But in terms of age, Abdurrahman ibn Auf had come far earlier. He was from amongst those who had accepted Islam long ago. So because of that seniority in age, Ibn Abbas too, radiallahu anhu, would always respect Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Ibn Abbas will always respect Ibn Auf. Why? He's far older than him. He made hijrah. He spent in the household of the messenger. He spent on jihad. So Ibn Abbas would recognize that fact regarding Abdurrahman ibn Auf. And by the same way, Ibn Auf will respect that seniority in terms of knowledge. For who? For Abdullah ibn Abbas. because he was more knowledgeable than him. So you can see if every person recognizes their place in the society, then there will be peace. There will be disturbance and turbulence when people fail to show mercy to those that they are older than, to those who are younger than them. And then when they come to those who are older than them, they are also raising shoulder. This is bad, and it will destroy the society because the people will not remain in their places. So for the sake of Allah, from the major things of the people of Islam, from our manners, from our conduct as the people of Islam, is that the older people should be merciful and compassionate to the younger ones. And the one who is younger should show good respect and genuine esteem for those who are older than them. When we don't do this, then we would have left and abandoned a major trait amongst the traits of Islam, amongst the conduct of the Muslim, would have abandoned a major trait, a major part of our conduct. I hope that this matter is clear. And the elderly is shown respect because of the virtue of elderliness itself. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, "Ayyun nasi khayr?" Who amongst the people is best? And the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Man tala umruhu wa hasuna 'amaluhu." He has long age, he has age, and he has good deeds. He's the best of us. And the worst of us are those who have age but bad deeds. May Allah protect us from this. So elderliness itself is a virtue, and the elderly ones must be respected because of that virtue, because of that favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Amir, can we stop here with this hadith? I hope we'll properly conceptualize this hadith and understand it. Ibn Allah, we can continue with further explanations in subsequent classes.
نعم أحسن الله إليك شيخ علي.
أمين وإياكم أبا عامر.
نعم. The first question here, it's been coming in recurrently, so
Let's
can take it. He says, is it good for a husband to deny his wife her rights for months because of a misunderstanding?
Is it what?
Is it good for a husband to deny his wife her rights for months because of a misunderstanding?
Is it good for a man to deny the wife her rights because of a misunderstanding? It depends on what the misunderstanding is, and it depends on what the man is doing. But one person's undoing does not justify another undoing. If a woman had violated the right, maybe the right to obedience, your husband says don't go out, and then you went out, you have violated his right, the right to be obeyed. The husband said, don't go out. The wife said, I will go. Then she goes. She has violated the right to be obeyed. And that right belongs to the husband. Now, when she comes back, by way of discipline, the man may decide to ignore her for some time. And not to ignore her is from the right of a woman. You should play with her, you should talk to her, you should smile to her, you should, and all that. So if he chooses to ignore her, or perhaps because the woman would not listen when he admonishes her, and then he chooses to now make a hajru fil bayt, that is abandoning her while still being in the house by way of discipline. He had commanded her, don't go out, and then she went out. He had commanded her, stop this thing you are doing, and she's not stopping it. Maybe because of this, the man, by way of discipline, chooses to abandon her for a period. But that shouldn't be much more. If it is abandoning, it should not be more than 3 days or 4 days at most. They should resolve the matter, unless he wants to make ila, that is, leaving a woman for some time till the man has to be told to choose between divorce and keeping the wife. So, but if it were other rights like spending on her and the like of this, there must be a reason behind this. So I think the man and the woman should sit down and sort it out. it is more of an issue of mutual misunderstanding than merely denying her rights. This usually comes in mutual misunderstanding between a man and the wife. So the both of them should sit down and resolve whatever difference that they have and not bring themselves into enmity. If it is that the man wants to leave her, then he should not keep her in suspense a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months without leaving her. The maximum a man can do regarding that is 4 months. So that is about Ila, even though that is not from the best ways to separate from a woman if you want to separate from her. I think this is what I have understood from the question. But the basic thing they could do is the both of them could sit down and resolve whatever differences that they have instead of the woman denying the man. It comes like that too sometimes. The woman will deny the man access to her. I heard recently a woman said to her husband, the husband wanted her and she refused. And then he said, angels of Allah will be sad and angry against you. And she said, let them be angry. This is from the aspects of fisk. It shows thankfulness of that woman. So she doesn't care what happens to her. It shows that there is a lot of sin. She's been committing sins. She got used to sinning. So she has that audacity to say that regarding her husband. Yes, let the angels be angry against her if they want. That's a very dangerous thing, very dangerous. I knew someone who said something similar to that, and her life became bad, so bad. She suffered. And when the suffering was going on, I was saying to some of the brothers that you people forgot what this woman said one day. The husband, when they had a disagreement, said to her that what you are doing can lead you into the fire of Allah, Jahannam. She said, if Allah wants to throw her into Jahannam, let Allah throw her into Jahannam. She didn't die, but she saw a lot of evils. And I was reminding the people that, have you forgotten what that woman said? Have you forgotten what she said? So for the sake of Allah, spouses, when there are disagreements, sit down to resolve the disagreement. And if it is that you want to separate properly, don't punish a woman in marriage. Likewise, the woman should not punish her husband inside marriage. One person's failure does not justify another person's failure. If the man is not giving you your rights, it doesn't mean you two should disallow him his rights. The two of you should sit down and resolve whatever differences you may have. It comes on both sides, and Allah knows best, Abu Amir.
Jazakumullah khairan, shaykhan.
Ameen wa
antum. There are many questions here that around two topics here. The first one here is how do we strike balance between status and age? For example, a younger CEO to an older subordinate, or a younger imam to an older chairman of the masjid.
I had explained that I knew that the question was going to come. I had explained that in the illustration between Abdullah ibn Abbas and Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiyallahu anhum. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma, was far more knowledgeable, especially in the sciences of the Quran. We remember the messenger's dua for him. Allah answered the dua and he became very knowledgeable. In a very short time, he was a reference point as far as the meaning of the Quran and the recitation of the Quran was concerned. Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abul Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma. So he was more knowledgeable, but the likes of Abdurrahman ibn Auf were far, far older than him. Abdurrahman ibn Auf was far older than Abdullah ibn Abbas. In fact, Abdurrahman ibn Auf had a son, Abu Salama, who was just a little younger than Ibn Abbas. he used to feel that why is Ibn Abbas considered, because he was also very knowledgeable. Abu Salama, the son of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, was also very knowledgeable. And even though Ibn Abbas was more knowledgeable. So yet, on the other hand, Ibn Abbas would respect Abdurrahman ibn Auf because of age, because of elderliness. So the same thing applies. If you have a younger imam, the imam is the head of the masjid. Please, mosque committees, know this. The masjid committee is just organized to organize the affairs of the masjid. The real head of the masjid is the imam. The real head of the masjid is imam. So the fact that the committee was involved in the emergence of the imam does not make them become superior to the imam. The imam is the head. Once he becomes appointed, he is the head over the chairman of the masjid, over the committee handling the affairs of the masjid. The imam is the head. So if he is younger, he must be shown respect of being the imam. And if he is younger too, he must show the respect to other members of the community who are older than him. That is not to say bowing and leaving aside the truth when it requires to be said. Because sometimes some of the brothers who have had this kind of experience would complain about mosque committee wanting to impose things upon the imam. It shouldn't be like that, because it's your head. He should be knowledgeable enough to head you before you appointed him. He should be wise and experienced enough to head you. So if you make him your head, you must respect him and obey him as the head of the community of Muslims. The imam is the head of the community wherever you find the masjid, because the masjid is the community, is a communal thing. The entire community come under the imam. So if he has a difference of opinion in a matter, the opinion of the imam is the one that is followed. But sometimes the masjid, the committee, wants to impose its position upon the imam because they think he's younger. They think they employed him and they could fire him. That is wrong of them. So as the imam should show a lot of respect, a lot of dignity, a lot of esteem to those who are older than him in the community, the community has a duty upon them to show a lot of honor, to show a lot of respect to the imam. Don't forget, if the imam was younger, the imam also has a right to be shown compassion and mercy when he errs, the kind of error that the younger person makes when he relates with the elders. The imam still has a right to be shown a lot of mercy and a lot of compassion, as we had explained. So if it happens in a place of work, the subordinates should show a lot of respect to their head. Why? Because he is their senior in terms of rank and status in the place of work. And he should show them a lot of esteem and a lot of respect and dignity. Why? Because they are his senior in terms of age. So you can see, if the elderly ones maintain their lanes and the younger ones maintain their lanes, each of them fulfilling the duties and the rights of younger and the rights of the older, then we will not have commotions, because the younger one will receive compassion and mercy, whether he's younger in terms of rank or age, and the older one will receive esteem and dignity, whether he is older or senior in terms of age and rank. I hope that it is clear, inshallah, Abu Amir.
Naam, Shaykhana, ahsan Allah ilayk.
It happens even within the husband and the wife. The husband
shows
a lot of mercy and compassion to the wife, and the wife must show a lot of esteem and dignity for the husband. Why? He's the head of the home and is likely older than the wife. But the wife, she must have a lot of compassion, a lot of mercy, a lot of empathy, a lot of excuse. Give her excuses, because little age, little experience, shallow thinking, and all of these is connected to those who are younger, inshallah. I hope that it is clear.
نعم شيخنا، that was the second most common question.
Okay. The main principle is love of compassion for the sisters, for their wives, for the sake of Allah.
نعم شيخنا.
Can we call it a day today? The time is already fast.
نعم شيخنا. جزاكم الله خيرا.
آمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. مكسر.
Thank you.